breakfast in London. Adam, the Nairobi siege. Hey, it turns out that a British SAS soldier played a role there.
Yeah, although, of course, the UK government won't confirm this because they, quote, don't talk about special forces. And in this case, it wasn't a special forces operation. It just so happens, right place, right time, or arguably wrong place, wrong time. But this SAS soldier, we're told of some standing. He was nearby, actually training some Kenyan special forces, not so very far away from this hotel, and was asked if he would go and help when everything kicked off with these Al-Shabaab extremists moving in. And indeed he did, and he helped with the rescue of civilians. But apparently, by all accounts, he was armed and used his weapon as well. So interesting thought that, given permission by Kenyan special forces, he opened fire in a foreign country. I mean, that's quite a rare thing when you think, this is guy on his own. But also we know that there was a British man, well, actually he's a British South African, wasn't he, of dual nationality, this charity worker Luke Potter. He was one of those 21 killed. And I don't know about you, Keena, but the last report, I was trying to see if there was an update, perhaps you have one, but 21 dead, 28 injured, but 19 people still missing? Is that
that's
possible?
That's what we've heard, and we're still double-checking everything. I've asked the team just to get us the latest updates on this. Have these guys been flushed out? They have been. We know that. So, you know, all those details we're still trying to confirm at the moment.
And yes, and also we know that the Foreign Office in London are supporting Luke Potter's family as well, as they would do. There was also a British guy injured, one of the 28 injured. So it's one of those, isn't it? It begins to touch other countries. It's not just a Kenyan thing.
Yeah, and of course, today I believe it was declared by Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta. He confirmed that the attackers from the Somali Islam, the militant group, had been, and I love this word, eliminated. So good, good riddance to bad rubbish. Now the Boyne Well. This is a heartbreaking story, man. You know, it looks like heartbreak for the Spanish family. This kid is old, 2 years old.
Yeah, little two-year-old boy who fell down a well about 360 feet, over 100 metres deep, this well.
150
and
metres.
He fell down this well on Sunday. He was with his family in the countryside. He was tottering around. And it's not one of those sort of traditional kind of wells. It's not a little circular wall with a wooden winch. It's basically a borehole in the dust. And 22 centimetres in diameter. So if you do that with your fingers, you go, my word, that's really tight. But the fact is, the little two-year-old was... He may even have done it as a little challenge to himself. I wonder if I can fit in there, you know, the way toddlers might. But anyway, we don't know that. But he has, we think, disappeared down this well. They found traces of hair. They found a bag of sweets just next to the well. They put two cameras down but can't see any traces of him inside. They've obviously been trying to make noises to see if he can respond. They've dug horizontal and vertical tunnels all down so they can then connect at the bottom and so forth. And so far, it's not good news. But the boy's father, Jose Rosello, says little Julian, you know, still has a chance of being alive. They're not giving up hope. They still have hope.
Man, you know, I'm a father of a 16-month-old, and
you know,
you sort of project that on what your imagine that happened to me. I'd be wow. Anyway, it's just one of those stories that really, really emotionally engaged me. Now, Theresa's troubles. Although the UK PM won the vote of no confidence, she's got a lot of work to do.
She has a bit. And one of the first things she did after winning the vote, we kind of thought she would, because, after all, her own MPs may have voted against her deal, but they weren't going to vote against their own jobs. But having immediately won the no-confidence vote, she said she wanted to talk to the other party leaders to see if they could come up with a Brexit compromise, at which point the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, who tabled the no-confidence vote in the first place, said that he wasn't going to attend until a no deal Brexit was taken off the table. So he's sort of trying to call the shots before he goes and has a meeting. Do you know what? He should just go and have a chat, shouldn't he? What's the point of holding out in that stuff? I think the country wants people to do the talking and then make it happen. Because, interestingly, in a Sky data poll, more or less two-thirds of us in the UK apparently believe that we are in a state of crisis.
You'd say?
We certainly are. But only just over a third want Theresa May out. So whilst we acknowledge that there's an awful lot of going down, we don't see a change of Prime Minister as being necessarily the answer. And I wonder if the Labour leader ought to take that on board. I'm sure he won't, but he talked about zombie governments and a government that can't govern and so forth. So I'm afraid we're going to go round and round with this, at least until Monday, when, of course, that exciting Plan B will come along.
Exciting indeed. Now, the Bird Box challenge, I see YouTube had to remove the videos inspired by the film.
Yeah, have you seen the it's a Netflix film, Bird Box. Have you seen the film?
I haven't seen the film, no. Have you?
I thought the premise was quite interesting, although it does begin to sound like a couple of others. It's a bit like A Quiet Place. If you saw A Quiet Place last year,
yes,
it's like that, only instead of sound, which will kill you, in this case, it's a sight, an apparition, a supernatural appearance that will drive you to suicide. And this happens across the world. So to survive, you have to blindfold yourself and do everything. And basically, it's about the mother, Sandra Bullock, trying to save her kids, and they have to do everything blindfold. So guess what? It's become a copycat thing where people now are setting themselves or each other challenges to do things with blindfolds on. So already, for instance, one woman in the United States, inevitably, crashed her car after trying to drive blindfold. I mean, there are just some things you think, no, what? So whilst Bird Box might be a bit of a thing on the one hand, bird-brained seems to be the answer. So YouTube has said it will remove all videos pertaining to pranks copying Bird Box to discourage people from doing really, really stupid things.
Oh, she's probably also a Trump supporter, and yeah, I just...
Look at you putting two and two together.
No, I mean, I never know why they call it the shallow end of the gene pool. There's just so many candidates. But yeah, Adam?
It probably seemed like a good idea at the time, didn't he? He said, look, she did it in the film, so therefore, and oops. Also, you imagine, just imagine the first thing you'd crash into, you know, the woman jumps into a car. I think she was a young woman as well. Probably dad's car or the neighbour. The neighbour's car, or the house. I mean, the first thing you would crash into wouldn't be somewhere down the street. It would be something of yours, probably, wouldn't it?
Exactly, which makes it so, such a clever thing to do. Adam, great chatting to you, as always, sir. We'll speak to you tomorrow, same time, same place. Now, every day on the Zemrits Worldview, we've been asking you to send in questions about a world topic that you'd like to know more about. Well, Pitso wants to know how we know that what dinosaurs actually sounded like. So one has to obviously get the answer to these questions. We went to Professor Jonah Schoner, and it's from the Evolutionary Studies Institute at Wits University, and here's the answer.
That's a really good question. And in fact, the short answer is we don't know what most dinosaurs would have made for sounds. We simply don't have any evidence. And so the sounds that you hear on movies like Jurassic Park that are emitted by dinosaurs are actually a combination of modern animal sounds, screeches from birds, howls from lions, that sort of thing. And they've been mixed together by sound engineers. But there are some extinct dinosaurs that have features on their skulls, and we're able to interpret those features as organs that produce sound, much like a tuba or another brass instrument. And in fact, scientists have been able to recreate the resonating frequency in these dinosaurs, which are known as the duckbills. In many cases, they actually sound like today's vuvuzelas.
Oh my word, can you imagine that? Yeah, vuvuzela, you run for your life. Anyway, thank you very much for posting that particular question, Pitso. And as a result of it, and a result of us answering it, you've won yourself R1,000 courtesy of Emirates. Fly Emirates Business Class to experience a new level of comfort.
If you have a question on an interesting topic for Emirates Worldview, send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-567-1567 or hashtag Emirates Worldview on Twitter. There's more Emirates Worldview on capetalk.co.za.